lordship, from you, Gorath, terribly fierce, Ugrasena Atmajat, from the son of Ugrasena, Na Us, Trahi, kindly protect, Tristan, who are very much afraid of him, Ritja Vitrasaha Asi. You are naturally the destroyer of the fear of your servants. Rubam, in your Vishnu form. Cha, also. Idam, this. Parusham, as the supreme personality of Godhead. Jnana Dishnyam, who is appreciated by meditation. Ma, not. Pratyaksham, directly visible. Mangsadisham, to those who see with their material eyes. Krishesta, please be. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, because you dispel all the fear of your devotees, I request you to save us and give us protection from the terrible fear of Kamsa. Your form as Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is appreciated by yogis in meditation. Please make this form invisible to those who see with material eyes. Purport. The word Dhyana Dishnyam is significant in this verse because the form of the Lord is meditated upon by yogis. Devaki requested the Lord, who had appeared as Vishnu, to conceal that form, for she wanted to see the Lord as an ordinary child, like a child appreciated by persons who have material eyes. Devaki wanted to see whether the Supreme Personality of Godhead had actually appeared, or she was dreaming the Vishnu form. If Kamsa were to come, she thought, upon seeing the Vishnu form, he would immediately kill the child. But if he saw a human child, he might reconsider. Devaki was afraid of Ugrasena Atmaja. That is, she was afraid not of Ugrasena and his men, but of the son of Ugrasena. Thus she requested the Lord to dissipate that fear, since he is always ready to give protection, abhayam, to his devotees. My Lord, she prayed, I request you to save me from the cruel hands of the son of Ugrasena, Kamsa. I am praying to your lordship to please rescue me from this fearful condition, because you are always ready to give protection to your servitors. The Lord has confirmed the statement in the Bhagavad Gita by assuring Arjuna, you may declare to the world, my devotee shall never be vanquished. While thus praying to the Lord for rescue, Mother Devaki expressed her motherly affection. Quote, I understand that this transcendental form is generally perceived in meditation by the great sages, but I am still afraid because soon as Kamsa understands that you have appeared, he might harm you. So I request that for the time being, you become invisible to our material eyes. In other words, she requested the Lord to assume the form of an ordinary child. My only cause of fear for my brother Kamsa is due to your appearance. My Lord Madhusudana, Kamsa may know that you were already born. Therefore, I request you to conceal this forearm form of your lordship, which holds the four symbols of Vishnu, namely the conch shell, disc, the lotus, and the club, and the lotus flower. My dear Lord, at the end of the annihilation of the cosmic manifestation, you put the whole universe within your abdomen. Still, by your unalloyed mercy, you have appeared in my womb. I am surprised that you imitate the activities of ordinary human beings just to please your devotee. Devaki was so afraid of Kamsa that she could not believe that Kamsa would be unable to kill Lord Vishnu, who was personally present. Out of motherly affection, therefore, she requested the Supreme Personality of Godhead to disappear. Although because of the Lord's disappearance, Kamsa would harass her more and more, thinking that the child born of her was hidden somewhere, she did not want the transcendental child to be harassed and killed. Therefore, she requested Lord Vishnu to disappear. Later, when harassed, she would think of him within her mind. Om Gyanati Mrandasha Ganajana Salakaya Chakshir Mitanina Tasman Sri Gravenama Panchakopa Thirubhischa Kripa Sindhu Vyabhicha Patitano Pavanebhyo Vaishyavebhyo Namo Namaha. So in this verse, Devaki is glorifying Krishna, but she was also expressing her fear. What is she afraid of? It's a question for the students. What is Devaki afraid of? She's in the presence of Krishna. He's manifested himself completely, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what is she still afraid of? Is she afraid of Kamsa herself? What do you think? No answers? Go ahead. She's afraid for her son. Is that what you said? She's afraid of Kamsa. Kamsa's son. All right, here Kamsa is called the son of Ugrasena. So when we talk about Ugrasena's son, that's the name of Kamsa. So that, yeah, she's afraid of Kamsa. Why? What is she afraid Kamsa might do? What? That she will kill who? Might kill her son, Krishna. So Devaki is not afraid for herself. She's afraid that Kamsa may kill her son Krishna. So this is really interesting because we see that there's sort of a switch back and forth between the glorification of Krishna in the mood of awe and reverence and also a mixture with the Vatsalya Bhava, which is now starting to increase. The Devaki's maternal affection and fear to protect Krishna is now beginning. So it seems like there's sort of a switching back and forth between this mood of awe and reverence and glorification of Krishna, and then becoming covered by yoga maya, again assuming this maternal affection, and therefore being very protective and fearful for Krishna. So she seems to alternate between these positions of knowledge of the position of Krishna and then being under the yoga maya covering. And so we can see that this verse is sort of a transition between her glorification of the different forms of Krishna and his different activities and how he's manifested. She talked about how he manifested himself as death, how he manifested himself in so many different ways within material nature, as Vishnu, all of these different ways that Krishna manifested. She glorified Krishna by these different forms. Now she's starting to become a little bit covered again by yoga maya. And while she's still glorifying him as the form of Vishnu, she's starting to become fearful again. That if Kamsa sees this form of Vishnu, Kamsa knew that Vishnu was his eternal enemy, and therefore Kamsa would again become outraged and perhaps would hurt baby Krishna. So we see this, that she's again becoming more and more influenced by this Vatsalya Rasa. Actually, it's described in one of the purports to these verses by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur that there's three different levels of happiness of prema that are experienced due to different levels of this covering. So the coverings here are coverings of jnana and aishvarya. Jnana means knowledge that Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and aishvarya is the corresponding mood of awe and reverence. Because obviously if you think this is God, this is the creator, the maintainer, the destroyer of everything, then there's going to be a certain awe and reverence. You know, obviously I'm very, very small, Krishna is very great, and of course this is the mood as the devotees we usually have. But there's also the mood of pure prema, which when David... afraid for herself. She's afraid for Krishna. She's afraid for baby Krishna. And sometimes we may wonder, I might think, well, here she is. Krishna's in front of her, showing his forearm form. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, why is she still afraid? Why would she be afraid of Kamsa? In a material way, it doesn't make sense. But this is also part of her pastime and her relationship with Krishna. I wrote this down. There's a very nice, a couple verses later, there's a nice purport by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur where he explains this. He says, how is it that Devaki and Vasudev, who realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly with their senses, can be afflicted with fear and lamentation arising from ignorance? Might be a sensible question. If we ask that question, then Vishnu chastises us. He says, one should not raise such a question. Such fear and lamentation is actually an expression of prema arising from the chit shakti. The fear shown by Vasudeva and Devaki is one of the vyabhichari bhavas, which are transcendental bodily symptoms manifest in ecstatic love. Their fear did not arise from ignorance. So in other words, that fear or lamentation that a pure devotee like Devaki and Vasudeva show is actually a symptom of love. It's one of what's called a vyabhichari bhava. Now here's the advanced graduate level question. How many vyabhichari bhavas are there? How many different bodily symptoms of ecstatic love? Well, Vishnu says 33. But the other places, it might be saying 36. Anyway, this is like a detail of a detail of a detail. But anyway, there's a lot of these different bodily symptoms that might be manifest in ecstatic love. And fearfulness is sometimes a way that a devotee shows their love, how this loving relationship is manifested. So we can see this, of course, even material examples, which sometimes can be analogous to spiritual reality, that we can see that the parents will become very fearful for their child. All of you know that if you've ever had some experience where you've done something and your mother, your father got very afraid for you, were very worried about you, right? Right? You know, they weren't, in fact, sometimes they get mad too, but they're not really mad, are they? They're really mostly afraid. So we can see that even in the material world, a parent will become very fearful on behalf of their child. You know, they want to protect them as part of that rasa or that relationship. So you can imagine how much greater it is, even in the spiritual world, when Mother Yashoda or Mother Devaki are so fearful that something might happen to the baby Krishna, who they have such love and such relationship and such caring and deep emotions for. They become very, very frightened, you know. And this fear that they have, and Krishna, of course, arranges things to sometimes increase this fearfulness because it increases their love, increases their attachment. I know as a parent, sometimes if you think your child is going to be harmed, you feel your attachment actually increases, right? You feel so much care, you're so concerned, and you kind of like remember again how much you love and care about that child. So you can imagine in the spiritual world how much when all of the coward boys and coward and the mother Yashoda, mostly the parents are most in this mood, the coward men and the coward women, when they're worried that Krishna is going to be killed by a demon or something like that, how that fearfulness increases their love and just their whole relationship with Krishna develops and increases. So this is what's happening here. Krishna is actually increasing the fearfulness sometimes for Devaki and Vasudeva so that they become more and more attached to him and decrease and increase their loving mood of the Vatsalya Rasa. So what is our position? We see that the highest devotees see Krishna just in this very intimate way, but yet sometimes even great devotees, pure devotees like Devaki and Vasudeva will understand the real position of Krishna, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course some devotees, very, very great advanced devotees like Narada Muni, who's in a Dasya Rasa, a mood of servitorship, he is usually understanding Krishna's position. In fact, he's usually in a position of preaching about Krishna, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's constantly worshipping, chanting the glories of Narayan, etc. So many, many great devotees are in appreciation, understanding of the position of Krishna. And as one advances, so-called advances, not in a material sense, but spiritually, attains to higher and higher rasas, this mood of on reverence tends to decrease until we get to the point of the highest relationship with the gopis, where there's almost no on reverence at all, but a very, very intimate relationship, and sometimes even of equality, and sometimes even superiority. In the mood of vatsalya, the parental rasa, the devotee is actually in a superior mood, is ordering Krishna, do this, do that, don't do that, you naughty boy. Mother Yashoda tries to tie him up, etc. And Krishna enjoys this. This is part of the enjoying spirit of Krishna, that he has these wonderful relationships with Krishna. Now for us, we need to tend to view Krishna more in a mood of on reverence. In the beginning stage is the devotional service, and actually as you read our scriptures like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you realize that we're in beginning stages for a long, long time until we reach bhava, prema, and some of these very, very high stages of Krishna consciousness. So for us, we worship in a mood of on reverence. Prabhupada made it very clear in our deity worship, we worship in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. Lakshmi Narayan worship is really the standard, where we have such beautiful clothing and beautiful jewelry and flowers and decorations, very, very punctual, regulated service. You know, this is a very, very high standard of worship in this mood of Aishvarya, of on reverence. And although, even though we worship in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan, it's described that, but actually Radha and Krishna are accepting the service. So Lakshmi Narayan are, of course, expansions of Radha and Krishna, so they're both there simultaneously. How that happens, I have no idea. But this is the wonderful, mysterious nature of the spiritual world, that we are worshiping Radha and Krishna, Radha and Krishna are accepting, but we're also worshiping in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan, so that we do not commit offenses, and we do not assume that we are on a more intimate position or relationship than we are. Now, what if one becomes more advanced and more spontaneous in one's service, and one is more on a Raganuga platform of spontaneous devotional service? How does that mood change in things like deity worship? It's described that what changes is one's internal mood. The external form remains the same. One still continues the worship in that same mood, but one's internal mood might be more and more understanding his relationship with the deity and the relationship with Krishna. In other words, we begin to understand through the regulated sadhana bhakti, through the Pancharatriki system, and through following the rules and regulations, if we continue advancement, more and more we will begin to understand that this actually is Radha and Krishna. I have a relationship, and that relationship with the deity and that relationship with Krishna begins to develop within our hearts. So it doesn't need to change externally, but it changes internally. So we want to, and we see so many examples. We see the examples of the six Goswamis in Vrindavan. The six Goswamis were, you know, we could say, I think without too much argument, examples of the most advanced devotees that have been on this planet. We don't have examples, I don't think, of, we could say, more advanced devotees. You know, they're completely on this pure level. They're Gopi Manjaris in Vrindavan. You know, you could say so many things about the six Goswamis. But yet, they showed us the example of regulated devotional service. It's described how they chanted a regulated amount of rounds. It's also, they established very, very nice, very beautiful deity worship in Vrindavan. This is one of the instructions that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to the six Goswamis, you know, to excavate the holy places, the places of Krishna's pastimes, to write books on transcendental literature, and to establish these temples, which they all did. They all established these very, very wonderful temples, Madan Mohan, Radha Damodar, Radha Raman, etc. And therefore, they established this very, very nice worship of the deity. So as one advances, of course, one still remains very strict in one's sadhana for several reasons. First of all, to set example, that even if one is so-called above the rules and regulations, and I don't think any of us should presume to be on that level, but even if one were, one wants to set example, just like Srila Prabhupada did. Srila Prabhupada set the example of chanting his rounds. We saw the rising early in the morning. We saw Srila Prabhupada do this to set example in training new devotees. Secondly, even the pure devotee enjoys these practices. It's not out of duty, it's out of enjoyment. We should always remember that Sadhana Bhakti is really has two parts, Vaidhi Bhakti and Raghunuga. They're both considered part of Sadhana Bhakti. The difference is in Vaidhi Bhakti stage, one does things according to the rules and regulations. When one becomes more advanced at the Raghunuga stage, then one spontaneously is attracted to the principles of sadhana, of rising early, chanting, hearing, and chanting. These things just become natural and spontaneous for them. It's not that one gives these things up. It's that one is able to actually relish on a deeper level. So this is our position, you know, that we always need to maintain this very respectful mood of awe and reverence toward the deity and towards all of the practices of the devotional service and towards our sadhana. And as we advance little by little, then that mood becomes more and more internalized, becomes more spontaneous, hopefully someday, and we begin more and more deep realization of who Krishna really is and who the deity is, and our relationship with them develops. Another point here that's brought out in this verse and purport is the way that Devaki is always feeling the protection of Krishna. She's saying, "Your Lordship, please rescue me from this fearful condition because you are always ready to give protection to your servitors." In the last line of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, later when harassed, she would think of him within her mind. So this is another symptom of a great devotee. The devotee is always feeling this protection of the Lord and always feeling that they are under his care, under his protection. And that nothing can really harm us, or nothing can really happen to us negatively as long as we're situated in that relationship with Krishna. There's a very nice verse from the Hari Bhakta Balas that I was looking for this verse, and I only found it in a book, Prabhupada wrote the Narada Bhakti something, or they must be in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but it's from the Hari Bhakta Balas of Sanat Goswami, but I didn't find it in CC, but I'm sure it's there. It's Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjanam Rakshasya Tita Vishvasho Gotritve Varanam Tita Atma Nikshepa Karpanye Sadvida Saranagata. Sorry for that, the answer wasn't so good. The six aspects of full surrender, there are six different things that are symptoms of when we are fully surrendered to the Lord. This is the symptoms of a pure devotee. One, accepting things favorable for devotional service. Two, rejecting things unfavorable for devotional service. Three, believing firmly in the Lord's protection. This is what we see here with Mother Devaki. This firm belief that Krishna will always protect me. Four, feeling exclusively dependent on the mercy of the Lord for one's maintenance. Five, having no separate interest in the Lord. And six, always feeling oneself meek and humble before the Lord. So these are very important principles of devotional service. They really show how bhakti is manifest. And when a devotee becomes more and more surrendered, they begin to manifest these symptoms. But actually, even in the beginning, a devotional service, even at the sadhana stage, one begins to see this and begins to understand this more and more. This is described also by Srila Prabhupada in his purport in Bhagavad Gita 1866, Lord Krishna's final instruction to Arjuna, Sarvadharma Prachaja, ends Ma Suchaha, do not fear. So again, this instruction is there. The devotee does not need to fear. And Srila Prabhupada says in that purport, one should be confident that in all circumstances, Krishna will protect him from all difficulties. There is no need of thinking how one should keep the body and soul together. Krishna will see to that. One should always think himself helpless and should consider Krishna the only basis for his progress in life. As soon as one seriously engages himself in devotional service to the Lord, in full Krishna consciousness, at once he becomes freed from all contamination. So one of these contaminations of material natures is fearfulness. Fearing for one's safety, fearing for one's bodily protection, fearful of what will happen, fearful of the future, fearful of... We're fearful. Someone gave a nice class a couple days, I can't remember, I've had so many nice classes recently, about this idea of fearfulness. About, you know, that there's fear all around us. We fear so many things in so many different ways. But Krishna is saying, Ma Suchaha, he's saying, surrender unto me, do not fear. It's interesting, it says that this happens, this freedom from this contamination of fearfulness happens as soon as one thinks oneself helpless and as soon as one seriously engages himself in devotional service to the Lord. So even in the beginning of devotional service leads to fearlessness, leads to giving up this fearfulness and lamentation. Immediately, the devotee feels this protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and feels situated rightly in Krishna consciousness. Because our greatest fears come from avidya, comes from ignorance. When one is in ignorance, one is fearful. Ignorance means ignorance of one's real spiritual position. Ignorance of one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When that ignorance is dispelled, and one has knowledge of that relationship, which also means knowledge that one is not the body, but is the spirit soul, then that fearfulness arising from the bodily conception of life is completely eradicated. And so probably all of us remember experiencing that, coming to Krishna consciousness, that point when we understand that we, at least to some degree, some beginning realization that we are not the body, that we are the soul, that we have an eternal relationship with Krishna. What can be more freeing of fear? What can give more faith and confidence and hope to the living entity than that knowledge of an eternal relationship with God? That's one of the most wonderful things that we can experience. That's the whole purpose of our thousands and millions of lifetimes going through this material world and going through the cycle of samsara, birth after birth, to come to the point of once again understanding our relationship with Krishna. And once we do that, then all fear, all lamentation is taken away, is eradicated. Now, it may not be 100% complete as soon as we, you know, turn to Krishna consciousness, but we begin to feel it, we begin to experience it. So little by little, the material desires begin to decrease, the material concerns and fears begin, you know, falling away as the process of purification through sadhana bhakti and hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna increases. So eventually we get to that point where we start to display these symptoms of full surrender, of believing firmly in Krishna's protection, of feeling exclusively dependent upon the mercy of the Lord, as we see in the wonderful examples of the great devotees like Devaki and Vasudeva. So, at that point, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So, any questions, comments?
Prabhu, I had a chance to read the verse before our class, and it was just, I was a little bewildered by the fact that, okay, you know, here's Devaki and Vasudeva locked in prison, and then, you know, all of a sudden, instead of this little baby appearing, you know, they have this, you know, fully grown person appearing there, fully armed, you know. And so I was thinking, well, why would Devaki want this, you know, this form that obviously could, I mean, maybe in her mind she was thinking, well, this person can defeat Kamsa, no problem. You know, he's ready to go. You know, why would you want him to return to being a little baby? I don't know, maybe that's a stupid question, but that's what I thought. I mean, just from a practical standpoint.
Well, yes, that's what maybe. And of course, and that's, I think, part of what we're talking about today is then it's her loving relationship as in Vatsali Ras as a mother overcomes that. So in other words, if she felt that way, this is, you know, if he remained in his Vishnu form, immediately destroyed, killed Kamsa, then that would completely detract from her whole rasa, her whole relationship, her whole loving relationship with Krishna. And also, you know, it really, you know, the whole pastime wouldn't evolve. Krishna does many things at once. We have to always remember that. You know, these are all very intricate. You know, it's just, it's sometimes it's rather incredible the way that all of these different pastimes are engineered, so many things happen. You know, I think, isn't it in Vrindavan, Purnamasi is in charge of that? kind of arranging all these different things to happen. And Krishna even appoints people to make all of these, you know, wonderful strategic plans that he has, you know, for, obviously, Krishna wanted to increase the love of Devaki. He wanted her to experience that Vatsalya Rasa. He also wanted to be taken to Vrindavan so he could do his Vrindavan pastimes. In other words, he, you know, there were so many different simultaneous plans that Krishna's performing at once. Anything else from the ladies? There you are.
Thank you for your class. You mentioned about protection from bodily harm or spiritual calamity or physical calamity. So when they come, then how do you see Krishna's protection when calamities do come? And your children die, or you're in a car accident, or you have some bodily harm, or so what is the protection that you're talking about?
That's a very, very good question. Ultimately, it's spiritual protection. These bodies are going to experience birth, death, disease, and old age. That we know. Every one of us who is born is going to die. Krishna is not saying that he is going to protect us, that these bodies, you know, will live forever, that they will always be protected. But what Krishna is protecting us is from the bodily concept of life. He's protecting our consciousness. He's protecting us in a very, very, very deeper way of spiritual protection. In other words, Krishna is not forgetting us. Krishna is looking out for our spiritual benefit, that we will make advancement life after life, or perhaps at the end of this life, we'll go back home, back to Godhead. But whether it's one life, or whether it's many or several lifetimes, or whether we finish at this point, it is all in the hands of Krishna. The Prabhupada gave the example of like the baby kitten who's in the teeth of its mother. The mother picks up the baby cat right by the back of the neck and carries him, and the baby kitten is feeling very safe and secure, and of course the cat is also picking up the rat, you know, and the rat of course feels imminent death is coming. Now both look the same, but they're very different. So for the devotee and for the non-devotee, it may look the same. It may look like the devotee is also experiencing difficulty, is experiencing loss, is experiencing things that cause one fear or sadness or pain. But the difference is the relationship with God. When the non-devotee sees Krishna in the form of death, his cruel death coming, the devotee is seeing the merciful, loving hand of Krishna and everything. And so this is really where our faith comes in. And as we advance to Krishna consciousness, one of the things that we see is an advancement in our faith. Our faith grows and expands and increases, and sometimes it's tested, and sometimes it's difficult. And we have to really dig deep and go, you know, into that place within us where our relationship with Krishna is deep in our heart. That eternal relationship is there, and we have to find that faith and find that relationship. And that gets us through these other times and these other difficulties. Because on the material platform, yes, we may experience so much difficulty. But the devotee, first of all, is not in ignorance. The devotee is in knowledge. The devotee knows that whatever happens to the body is temporary. We've had so many bodies, we've had so many families, we've had so many relationships. These things are temporary. What is eternal is our spiritual relationship. And we take shelter in that, we take faith in that, and we understand that Krishna will not give us tests that are greater than we're able to come up to. That Krishna will give us those things that will help us to grow in Krishna consciousness. And even if there are difficulties, or there are tests, or things that may seem difficult, or they may not seem fair, it's like our tiny minds, we can't see the whole picture. You know, we have this tiny little vision what's happening with me, but it's very difficult to have the vision of God, the vision of Krishna, which sees the whole picture and how he's arranging things for all of our benefits. to become more Krishna conscious, to surrender to Him, and to ultimately reach the goal of Krishna consciousness and going back home, back to Godhead. So it takes a little bit of thoughtfulness, it takes a little faith, you know, to just to try to understand how Krishna is working in our lives. We probably should quit at that point, can't we? Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.